Welcome to Jessica Miles, the podcast, where each week we'll discuss my experiences as a professional spiritual medium, intuitive healer, and mentor. I'll be sharing what I've learned while developing as a psychic medium and facilitator of ancient healing modalities and much, much more. You were born with this innate ability to communicate and co-create with the unseen realms of the universe. This podcast is for those on a path of self-discovery and spiritual development, seeking grounded and practical tools to feel deeply rooted into spirit. I'm your host, Jessica Miles. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hello, Kristen. Here we are. Here we are in Gemini season. We have arrived. We're back in our Aries.
I've arrived. How are you?
I'm doing good. I feel like I've had so much happen between our last conversation and us meeting here today. I was writing down things as I was preparing for our conversation, and I was like, holy moly, you know, working with the element of the earth and where I was pulled to in just a short amount of time. Like I was pulled to Ojai to get in the river and to do some healing space there, and then pulled to New Mexico and travel all the different areas of New Mexico that are highly charged, and just that connection to land and spirit, and landing in some interesting conversations where they're talking about, you know, making huge global impact on the world. And I was like, what am I here? Like, what? And then when they started having the conversation, I'm like, of course, here is Taurus season. Yes. Arriving in a beautiful Libra package in this mansion in Beverly Hills. Because, you know, we need both, right? We need that, yes, Libra Virgo beauty combined, yes, with that Taurus energy. I mean, you could make the shit up. I was like, are we serious right now? And I love how spirit knows me, right? Mm-hmm. Spirit knows that I love connection, but I love homes and I love design and I love the beauty of home and design. Like I love the textures and textiles and colors, and it just makes me so happy. And I feel like everywhere that I was led was in those environments of being in a home, like felt very like womb-like, but then having these conversations that were very connected to, you know, saving the planet and healing the earth and finding my connection with the earth. And then when I was thinking about our conversation last time, you know, I was like, how am I going to keep my basil alive? You know, I think that was like where I was going, right? But then I was like, oh, okay. Taurus really took me through that my ninth house. Mm-hmm. And all these different experiences and philosophies, and then also that connection to the earth of my body. It was really beautiful. It was very like sensual and sexy. It was amazing.
And that's very Taurus. I mean, Taurus being ruled by Venus, you're going to have those themes of beauty, sensuality, connectedness, like, and that is the nature of, you know, like you said, being in the body, how the body is our own, our spirits or our soul's little planet Earth. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? It's like we are a physical embodiment of the Earth. Our bodies are made of the Earth, and how we have the various connections to what it feels like to be home, what it feels like to be connected to the ground, the dirts, the landscapes. But, you know, I love that you brought that in with the connection to the physical body and how that's another representation of our relationship with earth things and earth themes. So yes, it sounds like you had very clear, direct manifestations of cultivating Taurus energy. And before we had pressed record, we started to have this conversation of like, you know, when you begin to step into the harmony of the flow, or to step into the pattern following the sun. You can follow various planets through the zodiac, but the sun gives you a nice 30-day window, a highlighting, so to speak, of that particular sign. But when you do start stepping into the flow of the cycles, how you begin to manifest connectivity to the themes that connect you to that particular sign. And it's almost like you don't have to try to do it. It's like just being mindful of it and looking for the earth, looking for the beauty, looking for those themes. Like all of a sudden it it's like as if they begin to mirror you and be attracted back towards you. And so before you know it, you are in these major or overarching themes that are connected to the sign. And this is the beauty of this kind of work, is it begins to cultivate the flow, but also the mindfulness practice and the connection to each sign and what it lends itself. Because, you know, as we had discussed at the beginning of our series together, it's all about activating the entire chart. It's not just your natal planets, where they're at, and that's it. We are the whole wheel. And in order to activate all of our facets, we have to really step into these mindfulness practices and exercise our connectiveness and our connectedness to the nature of the wheel in the zodiac, because it is our wheel. It is our cycle. It is the Ouroboros that we are following. You know, it's the compass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm still sort of, I don't know. It's Taurus season was very much, obviously I felt very grounded. I just felt like even as I'm tapping into my body, it's like I could feel my spirit literally in my toes and in my heels and in the palms of my feet. Like, it's like this, like, I don't want to say denseness, but kind of, right, where I just feel like I really sunk into the body. And like I was saying earlier, I just feel like, you know, moving through this practice that, you know, you have created for this space has allowed me to really feel like more fine-tuned in my connection to my intuition and the stuff that I am magnetizing towards me. Cause you're right. Like, it just feels like things are in such flow in this moment. And even when the hiccup comes in or the lesson, you know, because even in this expansion that happened in the last month and all the opportunities and invitations and conversations, like, I did have limiting beliefs that came up within that, but I was able to go, oh, that's an old story. It didn't pull me into this, like, this tailspin of, oh, you know, I was able to recognize what was happening because I was in my body, mm-hmm. and then do my own healing work from that space. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was a juicy month. It was a juicy mm-hmm. month, but I will say, you know, as we were preparing for this call and as I was closing out the circle that I was leading, with my mentees over the last 6 months, my head is so airy. Like, they're so airy. Like, I got this inspiration earlier this week that it's now time for me to change the name of this podcast, which I was like, whoa. And I'm very quick. Usually when I get the inspiration, I usually move very quickly. And what I've learned during our time together is, okay, it's okay. The idea is going to come in and just let it marinate for a second and allow it to get its, like, zhuzh, its marination, you know, let it really marinate before I move forward and take those actionable steps that I would normally do very quickly. I'm going to move. I'm going to do it really quick. And I'm like, oh, this feels good. And so I got all the inspiration and the information, and now I'm just going to let it sit in its little sauce. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time to announce the new name of the podcast, I'll do so. But it's been a beautiful exercise.
Yeah. And that's also a beautiful succession between the fixed nature of Earth and Taurus and the fast, mutable air nature of Gemini. You know, we are now entering the landscape of Gemini, and we, you know, there's always that transition strip, you know, something very slow and connected and grounded moving into something airy and very fast. It's like, what is that transition strip? And it's a perfect, it's a perfect analogy to think about letting things simmer. It's like the ideas have come in, the inspiration has come in, but still keeping it linked into the nature of the earth, letting it, you know, sit in the space of, you know, connectiveness and stability will make sure that you're not, you know, rushing into something, being reactive or being too impulsive, you know. And that's the beauty of the bridge, the liminal space in between signs, is to, you know, kind of split a leg onto each, to straddle it, so to speak, and to not just allow yourself to get swept up into the air, but yet allow yourself to begin to step away from, you know, the fixity of Earth. So just you having that inspiration come in the time frame that it did just goes to show that you are in connection to these these spaces in the sky, and that you are right in that liminal space right now of new inspirations, new ideas, but still letting them sit and ground so they have a bit of stability to build off of, you know, because that's the key to constructing and building anything, is that you have to have really strong, firm foundations in order for things to exist and not become a house of cards. So It is a perfect, it's a perfect thing to do. It's funny. It's bringing up a memory that a conversation that I had with my Gemini rising son, my youngest son, and how he gets very caught up in his Mercury being that Gemini rising. And you and I are both Virgo risings, which are also ruled by the planet Mercury. And so there is this speed, fastness, desire to take action on ideas, you know, because of the mercurial nature of our wheels. And, you know, my advice always to him is to tell people that you're going to think about it. Don't feel the need to respond or react in the moment. Like, let it, you know, simmer with it, sit with it, and think about it, sleep on it overnight. You know, there's this desire to take action and desire to, you know, move forward with everything that comes your way. And it's like, not all things that are coming your way are connected to your desired goals. You have to slow down and you have to stay connected in a way that's going to allow you to navigate the winds and the currents that are coming at you in order to not make impulsive decisions. So it is the nature of the bridge between Gemini and Taurus is to, you know, even when you feel the currents of the air coming in, to still make sure that you are slowing down just enough to construct and to root that idea or whatever the opportunity is into something stable before you begin to build off of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a practice for sure.
It's
a practice. And, but again, I feel like, you know, those of you that have been following this series and, you know, just hearing how the energies have been supporting them, it's been fun. It's been fun conversations to have, especially a lot of the women that listen to this podcast are local to my community and we're friends, and they text and they're just like, whoa, you know, just to see their connection as well to the magic of the universe and how we are so connected to the, you know, the elements and the natural world and the stars. And so it's been expansive for sure.
Yeah.
How have you been feeling? What was your revelations?
Well, because I'm in this work so deeply all of the time, it's as if, you know, it's like my focus for Taurus season, I was doing a lot of earth magic, you know, so my magical practice, which is a spirit practice that I use to cultivate and anoint and do various things inside of, was very earth-based, working with Venus and Taurus primarily, but just like having that ability to create. I like to create things under the Taurus umbrella, meaning like I like to construct my tonics and my tinctures during this window of time. I like to make my oils. I like to, you know, kind of create the things that I then use for the remainder of the year until the next cycle comes around. So I'm a bit of a kitchen witch during this time of the year. You know, I'm connected to my kitchen. I've been doing a lot of scratch cooking, thinking about food sources. And of course, my spirits are, you know, linking me into, you know, different local farmers markets, different local growers, and also, you know, observing and consuming material of other people who are wanting to connect on a deeper level to growing practices inside of their community. There's just, you know, there's a lot to sit with when it comes to our food and how our food is being cultivated. And we talked about that on the last podcast. And I think that it behooves. I think it's beneficial for everyone to really, you know, understand where their food is coming from. And a lot of these places are sourcing food from long distances. They're importing it from far away places, and how we can begin to wrap some mindfulness around bringing food, growing food, and, you know, helping support local farming practices, because it's more sustainable, it's healthier, and it's just beneficial for all, you know? So those were my themes. I was in my kitchen, I was cooking, and I was creating my goods for my medicine cabinet, so to speak, in my practice.
I know. I was seeing all of the, your beautiful jewelry too, that you were casting, and you were in there.
Yeah, that all came in on a Mars practice. It's strange. We'll have that conversation one of these days. It's a long one, but it's like there's, you know, I had worked with Mars, traveling my third house, and through it landed this opportunity to learn the craft of metalsmithing, which is so Mars.
You know,
I'm working with a torch, I'm bending metal, and how, you know, it landed in a way of finishing my course, and it landed in a way that I began to cultivate basically gather and collect a stash of stones to begin setting into metal. So that was like this Taurus Venusian component that landed, where it's like all of a sudden I am stockpiling, that was the word I was looking for, stockpiling all of these beautiful cabochons of mixed minerals and kind of these beautiful cut stones to begin to set into metal, and how it's the blending of the Mars nature of fire and metal into the nature of the earth with Venus and the beauty of these stones. So yes, it's been a practice that has very much come out of magical work, spiritual work, and just a form of exercising different capacities, which was is a good introduction to talking about Gemini, because that is one of the key nature manifestations of what a Gemini personality is they like to be very active in their curiosity, and they like learning lots of things, and there is a desire to be stimulated in the work. So it's like Gemini nature, Gemini energy is very fast, and it likes to stay busy, and it likes to have its hands in a lot of things. And so there's always a desire to have a lot going on. And that is the beauty of, no matter where you're at in life or what your age is, to allow your curiosity to continue to open up doors of exploration and learn new things, regardless of where you're at in life, and how that stimulates all types of new awarenesses within yourself. And it connects you to all totally different parts of yourself. It also connects you to other people, because, you know, like minds attract each other. So therefore, it's like if you take up a new hobby within your community, that's very Gemini. Gemini is the universal ruler of the third house of the zodiac. It is the part of the chart that is connected to things like your extended family members, your community, your neighbors. You know, it's that kind of immediate localized place in which you live. And it is, you know, it rules things like our learning in terms of our early education and the friends and the relationships that we make during that early education. So it's like, regardless of your age, you can always tap into your curiosity and how your curiosity is going to lead you to a new community, lead you to other people, lead you to these conversations, and lead you to learning new things. And these are all very Gemini, Mercury and Gemini qualities.
Well, I love that you just said that, because as we were wrapping up my women's circle, this is what we were talking about. They were saying, maybe we can gather this next month and find an activity or something creative that we could all do together, whether it be pottery or just something, or somebody hosts at their house where we can gather and share information, but also use something, use our creativity to make something with our hands. And I was like, yes, let's do it. Like, I would love to do it. Like, you guys keep me in the text thread, and I'd be happy to do that, because it sounds fun. Right. And I think it's like you said, we're still craving that sense of, we want that togetherness. I've been like calling in new hobbies and new things for myself as well. Like, okay, what do I want to, and again, without any expectation of what the ending and what the outcome is going to be, I just want to try something different, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's all on theme.
That is the, it's the exercise of it. You know, I look towards people at my age, I'm almost 50. And so I'm always looking towards, you know, people who are 10, 20, even 30 years older than me. And I'm looking towards them for a sense of a compass, like who can I look towards as the compass, as the guiding light for like, that's how I want to be at that age. And I think there's just so much beauty about, and I don't know if beauty is the correct word that I'm looking for, but there's an important part of being human that is connected to our desire towards staying active and stimulated, interested, curious, not allowing age to become some type of limitation. And it's like, who cares if you are, you know, the oldest person in the class, or who cares if you are, you know, feeling like you can't keep up because, you know, your body isn't as youthful. It's like, still be the student and still put yourself out into these new landscapes of being a learner, a beginner, and shedding any type of limited belief associated with it. Because when I look towards those guiding lights, they're all active, social, excited about getting up and, you know, doing what they do. It's like, they're interested. They're still interested in engaging with life and with people and with others. And all of that resonates, and it kind of simmers down into the physical body. So they look younger, they behave younger, they dress younger. There's this sense of, you know, how youth can maintain itself inside of a physical being regardless of age, but it is really connected to the mind's desire to still be out in the world, to learn new things, to meet new people, to interact, and to stay very proactive and engaged with life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was just thinking about a funny conversation that took place at one of those events. She was this stunning woman, she's 75 years old, and she just had this sense of self about her that was so anchored and so confident. And I was like, gosh, that's beautiful. At this age, she's just sitting here in her long, beautiful gray hair. And she had like this sexiness to her without being sexy, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, it was just the way she talked and the way she moved and her heart, truly. She had this goal in mind on how she wanted to make a huge impact on the world. And you can feel that it came from a place of, you know, sometimes when people want to make an impact, they can be angry or aggressive.
Yeah.
Right. Where they're like, this needs a change. Like, it wasn't like that. It was like, I'm going to share my story and hopefully it inspires you to want to make that change within yourself. Right. It was so incredible. And she was sort of saying to the people in the room, and I think there was like 20 or 25 of us, she was sharing with the people in the room, like, I'm 75 years old and here you younger people, you know, are here to make your sort of impact on the world, whether it be financially or through donating your time or sharing your voice. And it was a really beautiful conversation. And then she points to me and she goes, and for you, you know, she thought I was in my 20s. And I kind of looked at myself and I go, I thought she was talking to somebody behind me. So I like looked behind me and she goes, no, you. She's like, you have a huge responsibility to make a mark on the world. And I go, thank you for saying that, but I'm going to be 47 this year. And then it made me remember too, like, cause I'm never attached to my age. Like, I don't ever usually think about it. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, I can't wait to be embodied in the way that she is. It's this wise crone energy, right? Just like this beauty, this essence that was about her. But it made me kind of giggle because I'm like, we always think that this youth is what, or the beauty, I guess, our skin and how we look and how we appear, like that's like the ticket. And I don't know. I feel like it's like this deep wisdom that comes within that. I feel like that's the ticket. I was like, man, I strive to be like you, lady. Like, you are stunning. And just the way you want to move through the world and the way that you are making an impact on the world, truly inspiring.
Well, yes. And it's, you know, pulling it back into the Gemini component of that, it's like Gemini is a very young, youthful energy. So it's where it lands inside of your chart is going to reveal to you the place in which you stay young. You know what I mean? Like, it's that part of us that is going to be connected to something, a certain part of you know, our life and the components of our life. But it is that thing, you know, where Gemini is at. Aries is another very youthful sign. But it's those parts of ourselves that are going to help us stay connected and feeling young. So if we lean into those parts when we're trying to encourage ourselves to stay out of ruts, you know, we gotta keep moving and stay motivated and stay excited and curious about life. Gemini, that Gemini portion of the chart, is going to be the place that you can examine and explore to uncover those things that are going to keep you interested and engaged. So it is the part of the chart that you can really look towards for the younger internal curiosity that we often associate with the youth or with children, but we really should cultivate and capture and carry throughout our entire lifetimes.
Stay young, bottle it. Young mind.
The young mind. The
young mind. I'm in kindergarten. That's what I tell people. I'm in kindergarten. Just like, you know, just in this work, right? I always feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm a forever student, you know, at least that's what I say. I'm a forever student in this journey of uncovering and learning and just the conversations. And I like to refer to myself as that playful kindergartner, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we have to stay excited and we have to want to learn new things. It's like I observe people, and just how I observe people through the eye of looking for my compasses, I'm also observing people that I don't want to be like.
Exactly. Duality.
I am always
reminding me of what I don't want. Exactly.
Like I'm always observing those people as well. And, you know, I really try to ask myself, what is the difference? How are these people distinguished between each other? Because I want to know what I need to do to stay, you know, more like the, you know, my North Star versus the one that I'm looking at and being like, I don't want to have that kind of existence. And once again, I go back to staying engaged, that engagement with others, community, very Gemini, curiosity, and also just being willing to just try new things and be the student. You know, I think a lot of people get comfortable at what they're good at, and they get very uncomfortable with not being good at things. And so they tend to avoid anything that they don't have this natural ability towards, and they stick in their comfort zones. But once again, you are kind of cutting yourself off from the potential of development that the things that make you uncomfortable will teach you, as well as the community of people that those avenues are going to open up towards you. So it's just like this always staying open, and that air quality of Gemini, the mutability of Gemini is just it's the fast track to some of those parts of yourself that maybe people are, you know, just not engaging inside of their natal charts. I working with people, because of the nature of the solar system, it's very often that people will find their natal charts have this, these buildup, these stelliums, these, you know, emerging or converging planetary energies to where they have this strong concentration of planets in a certain part of their natal chart. And then they have these vacancies, and then they want to focus where those planets are. And they think that, you know, well, I have no planets in Gemini, so therefore I'm not Gemini. And it's no, you are Gemini. You just have to actively learn. You have to actively attempt to engage that part of yourself because you don't have a planet there. So it's always exercising. It's exercising all of the body parts, just like we would be doing with a full body physical regimen. You know, it's the same thing, but with our mental and spiritual regimen.
Or like, don't forget the calves, guys. Don't forget the calves.
Exactly.
Right. I'm working those glutes, but don't forget those calves.
You have to exercise all the parts of yourself. So that's what these conversations are fun for, because we can, you know, think about ways to pull in Gemini into our life. And then when you start to build awareness around it, just like how Jessica and I were first discussing, the Gemini is going to find you. You know what I mean? Just the awareness, the Gemini themes will link themselves right into you. And before you know it, you'll be doing Gemini for the entirety of Gemini season. Well, and Gemini this year, sorry about that. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I was thinking about, you know, my very, active social calendar that I've had. And I was sharing with Kristen that I'm getting ready to leave tomorrow for this Mother's Day trip. It's like all the moms from the baseball team organize this really fun trip for the moms. They rented this huge house in Indio in the desert. And they're all these ladies, they do pickleball. Have you ever played pickleball?
Oh my gosh, I love pickleball.
Do you love pickleball? I've never played. And they sent out a huge text and they're like, how about we do a pickleball tournament? And I was kind of laughing because I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to be the last person picked because these girls are very serious about their pickleball. But I was like, no, I want to learn. I want to play. Like I'm going to, you know, so I said on the text thread, like I've never played, but I'm down. Just don't make me be the asshole that's like waiting last in line. You know, when you're a kid, you're like, I guess we'll take Jessica. And so yesterday I texted them because I was like, you know what? I'm going to like fully embody this. Like it's going to be fun, you know? And so I got like my little tennis outfit. And I texted them and I was like, got my tennis outfit. I'm committed. I'm ready. And yeah, so I'm like really looking forward to it. But again, it's like you said, trying new things. Like I could be terrible at pickleball.
Yeah.
But I could also be stellar. Right. I was the same way with golf. I remember the first time Paul took us to golf, like golfing with the kids. And I was like, oh gosh, I've never golfed a day in my life. But you know what's crazy? I'm really good at golf.
Yeah,
just and I love golf now, right? And I would have never known that had I not gone with Paul. He's the one that's always pulling me into trying new things, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so I do love that. And again, I think it's like, it's fun, right? It's fun to try new things. It's fun to explore. And again, that doesn't have to have this crazy outcome to it. It's just like, why not just try it, you know?
Why not just try it? And really, it's like... pickleball is a perfect example of something that's fast paced, which is, you know, mercurial. It's also, you work on teams, which is the twins, the Gemini. So it's a team player thing. You got to work together with your partner. And, you know, it's also something completely new and it's very youthful. You know, it's actually very fun to play pickleball with your kids. I used to play pickleball with my kids. So it's like, it's, you know, it's a fun, it's not incredibly difficult. It's, you know, it's not like tennis to where it's like the ball moves a lot slower. And for people who, you know, maybe don't move really fast or have that physical agility, it still allows you to get in there and to have fun with it. So it's a pickleball is a perfect Gemini thing for you to tap into for Gemini season.
Oh yeah. Well, here we go. I'll be posting on my Instagram, you guys, me and my little tennis skirt.
So let's also talk about, there's a couple of things that I wanted to touch on for Gemini. One, we have all of these very positive, fun, playful attributes of Gemini, which is, you know, the cleverness, the swiftness, the curiosity, the ability to communicate well. It's a very extroverted energy. You know, when we think about the nature of Mercury, the planet, our ability, it is our, you know, it's our mind, it's our spinal cord, it's our throat, it's our ability to perceive and relay and process information. It's our motherboard, you know, and that's our Mercury. But really, Mercury is an interface. And that's kind of how I want people to think about their Mercury, is that it's an interface. So sometimes you're expressing your sun through your Mercury. Sometimes you're expressing your Venus through your Mercury. Sometimes you're expressing Jupiter through your Mercury, depending on what hat you're wearing and what it is that you're trying to achieve. So it's not Mercury per se that's doing all the talking and the action. It's Mercury is the tool. Okay. So it's like when we think about, you know, how our Mercury's function inside of the natal chart, where it's placed, what's aspecting it, how close it is to the sun, is it receiving a hard aspect from Saturn? That means that the interfacing quality of your Mercury is going to have some components to it that are either going to strengthen it or they're going to make it struggle a little bit. So then you have to exercise the Mercury a little bit more. But when we kind of circling back to Gemini, when we think about the qualities of that sign, there's all these fun, fast, playful qualities to it, but there's also a lot of shadow to Mercury. And there's a lot of things that you have to be warned of with Gemini, because, you know, it steps into how I talked about earlier about reactivity and being impulsive and acting too quickly and not sitting on things. It's like there's a lot of shadow with Mercury. And the best way to explore that shadow, if anyone listening works with the tarot deck, particularly the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck, is to examine it through the tarot cards that govern Mercury inside of that deck, which is the 8, 9, and 10 of Swords. And also the Lover's archetype card, which is of the major arcana. So it's like you take the Lover's card and then you take the 8, 9, 10 of Swords. And all of a sudden, it paints this very different picture of Gemini. So to explore that just really gives people some of the understanding of the shadowy aspects of the nature of Gemini, some of the things that you have to be careful of and help temper, you know, if you have strong Gemini placements in the chart, or say you have a highly active Gemini, Mercury and Sun in Gemini, something like that, like there will be an excessiveness to the Gemini component that you have to, you know, really work on tempering down a little bit, because it can become exhausting. You know, it's a type of, because it's air, and we think about air as this constant expression, there's not a lot of grounding to air. So therefore we can really tap ourselves out. We can deplete the air. And what does that mean? How does that manifest inside of the body? How does that manifest inside of the mind? It can create a lot of mercurial struggles or mercurial challenges, which is, I think, an important thing to always keep aware of when you are thinking about Mercury and exercising your Mercury.
I was just kind of laughing because yesterday I was going through my catalog of recordings that are waiting to be launched for the podcast. And I was like, do I really want to sit on these interviews for 2-3 months before they launch? I thought to myself, which is kind of funny, I was thinking Mercury and like, just hurry up and get it out there, Jess. So I was like, maybe I'll just launch 2 episodes a week, you know, just to get the information out there. And so I was kind of laughing because I'm like, oh, there she goes. Yeah. My Mercury. I'm just like, let me just hurry up and get it out.
Yes. I mean, it's a thing, you know, it's like the excessiveness of it. It's like, you'll know the excessiveness of it. Yeah. You'll be, you know, if you're around somebody who's having an excess of Mercury, it's like they don't shut up. They just start, I call it talking at people, where you're no longer actually engaging somebody. You're just filling the airwaves with noise that's happening to be coming out of your face.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes that's a nervousness. Like we will get into situations that make us uncomfortable. And so we'll start like over mercurying and expressing too much air. And then there's also the
shit talking. And there's also the shit talking, guys.
The gossip, that is another shadow Mercury, and particularly of Gemini because of the twin. So it's like the twin-sided nature of Gemini means that, you know, mercurial people or the shadow of Gemini means it's like talking out of two sides of your mouth or being two-faced, you know, that the idea that, you know, we can engage with somebody and because we're just in that process of engagement, we're not really thinking about what we're saying. And then we are, you know, pivoting and talking to somebody else who maybe has very different views. And so we begin to engage with that and you're no longer grounded in you, you know, you're sort of becoming this vortex of air and Mercury that's coming out and expressing. So I find that, especially with my Gemini clients, like I warn them a lot of, you know, being able to talk themselves in and out of things very quickly. It's like they're on board with an idea. And then as we begin to talk about it, they will manage to talk themselves out of
it. Right out of it.
And then I have to like pull them back in and then they're talking themselves back into it. And it becomes this rapid movement of what I call over or hyper rationalization. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, we got to slow down. We got to just commit. We can't keep moving or talking about it because you're just going to continue to talk yourself in and out Or there's the nature of over justifying things. It's that, once again, hyper rationalization, where it's like there's 10 red flags presenting themselves, but they're able to justify and make sense of all of those 10 flags to where they've talked themselves out of the warning. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. we got to rein that in. So, you know, there's a lot of tempering I find with my Gemini people, or people that have angular Gemini placements, that you have to exercise a lot of awareness and a lot of tempering around that sign in order to have it not work against you. And that's really the nature with all signs, or people that have heavy placements. I have heavy Libra placements and I have heavy water placements in my natal chart. So I have to actively temper my watery and my Libra nature, because it just becomes excessive, and anything in excess pulls you out of homeostasis or out of balance. And then you are leaning into these things and they become pitfalls.
Mm-hmm. I know, I was just thinking about where I have some of those more active areas and where I also have to be mindful mm-hmm. of where I'm landing, especially when I have that Pluto that's kissing my sun. He's a high guy. Sure.
And a lot of times, you know, our Geminis will come out, like for me, my Gemini will come out in my work because Gemini rules my 10th house. And I can become very long-winded. You know what
you
I mean?
Know what? You know, it's so funny. This is the conversation Kristen and I have. She'll always say, okay, Jess, if you need to wrangle me in, you wrangle me in. But what I love is that everyone that listens to your podcast, they can't fucking get enough of you. Like literally, like I could put up a 3-hour podcast and they would be there for it. They would. They're like, oh, I love it. I just like, you know, they really, really, really love it. And again, I do believe that there is like this, you know, like that, harmonic frequency in the voice and that connection, and, you know, the people that are being drawn into this series, it's with intention, it's with purpose. Right. And your people are going to find you. And so,
well,
I'm stoked that you're here, not only like, you know, in the company that we get to share with one another, but even you sharing this, because I know that, you know, sometimes it's can be nerve-wracking putting ourselves out there and into the ethers and onto the internet. I mean, we were just talking about that earlier. It's like, okay, well, what's next? And then always having to think about, is this information I do want to say out loud? I mean, if you guys heard our conversations off microphone, we're like, do we want to talk about that? You know, and those are always usually the best conversations too, right? Like,
no, it's true. It's an exercise of balance, because you want to be able to convey and articulate, but then there's that exercise of not becoming long-winded, not becoming redundant, and not getting yourself so wrapped up in your own, I don't know, your own channeling or your own rhythm, that you are no longer engaging with what it is that you're trying to do, mm-hmm. which is to get information out so then people can engage with their natal charts on a deeper level and become more balanced and whole within their self-development process. So,
which again, it's making me circle back to the pot, because I also have it in the 10th house, and I love having guest teachers on, and I love sharing information, and I love, you know, how each person that's been on this podcast has definitely impacted people in a way that I'm like, wow, that's incredible. I love that you're sharing that and sharing mm-hmm. information. It's just, it's incredible. But there's times where I, like when I think of when Allie and I started the podcast, sometimes I cringe when I think about the things that I talked about on the podcast, but the ones that I really cringe over are the ones people are like, oh my God, that helped me so much. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God.
The irony, same. I think that, oh man, I didn't land that at all. And people are like, oh, I resonated so hard. Yeah. I resonated so hard. And I was like, okay, it's good for me to hear, because it's like, we are our own worst critics.
We really, really are. I had one of my dear friends and sisters on Trish, like, you know, Trish.
Yes.
This was her very first podcast interview ever. And we launched it. We launched it yesterday. No, today, yesterday, we launched it yesterday. And she got to hear her voice back for the first time. And she was like, oh my gosh, I go, you'll get used to it. In the beginning, it's very weird. And then you start to go, okay, I'm just going to love on myself. I'm just going to love on myself. And then it finally gets to a point where you're like, okay, it's fine. We're okay. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. And one of my dirty little secrets is that I've never listened back to any of my
I actually love that though. I wish that I didn't have to listen back to them. I have to edit them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, because no, it is
goodness.
Weird. It
thank
is
goodness
weird
for the
hearing your voice.
answers. But it's kind of a thing too that I don't want to get in my own way. And I'm afraid I'm still in the process of exercising my mercury on a public level or a public speaking level, to where I got to get myself at a place to where I feel grounded in it, to where when I do listen back, I don't have these waves of self-criticism, which I'm prone to do. So I'm working on it, but it's a thing to not be self-critical and to allow yourself to be fluid and authentic and expressive in a way that is enriching, not only for you, but for hopefully others, and without getting in your own way of it, because we can easily influence ourselves in the wrong direction. Yeah.
100%.
So let's talk about Jupiter in Gemini. Jupiter is getting ready to enter the sign of Gemini at the end of May, on May 26th. So Jupiter has been in the sign of Taurus for the past year, since May of 2023 to May of 2024. And now he's getting ready to ingress into the sign of Gemini, where he will spend another year. And Jupiter is the great benefic of the sky. So he is, you know, he's the largest planet in our solar system, and he's humongous. So, you know, Jupiter kind of embodies the big benefactor. I kind of always think of him in my own, I don't know, juvenile way, like the Santa Claus character with the big belly, or like the big Buddha. It's like, you know, rubbing the Buddha for luck. It's like that big jovial archetype that brings gifts and brings abundance and brings opportunity. So Jupiter is, you know, this embodiment of opportunity that you can expand on your life with. So following him through the zodiac, and then really setting what I like to think of as goals for yourself, or setting at least some intentions out with Jupiter's ingress into the signs, is a really good way of maximizing on the energy that he's going to be lending himself to you. It is up to us always to exercise our will. And this is a big part that I have to really drive home with a lot of my clients, because people feel stuck. They feel a little latent or passive. They are easily distracted. They lack motivation. And this isn't me discussing this to shadow anyone. It's more of that I think the nature of our reality keeps us a little depressed, a little distracted, a little unmotivated, a little overwhelmed. Maybe a lot of overwhelmed. You know, this is a byproduct, I think, of our modern society. And so much of my work with people is about how to engage and use their will by taking action on their life, even if it's just small steps, in order to get themselves out of the rut or out of the blockages and to step into more flow. So Jupiter is the guy that you really want to work towards when you're trying to expand things in your life. And what is it that you are trying to grow? Venus is really good for planting the seeds and fertilizing the ground. She's the what's considered the lesser benefic. And I'm putting that into air quotes because I find it kind of a negative sounding. It's not lesser. It's just, it's meaning that she's more of the nutrients of prosperity. And then Jupiter is more of the like blowing it up, like turning it into a jungle, taking your garden from the seed place into the very fruitful, abundant place. So you want to work with both, but Jupiter is the guy that we really want to look towards for larger, just larger areas of growth. So Jupiter is entering Gemini. So it's now time for everyone to look towards their Gemini chart. Look towards the placements of your air signs. So it'd be Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. This is going to create what's called a grand trine of air in the chart. So Jupiter's position into Gemini is going to activate the grand trine of air inside of the natal chart. So if you have planets in Aquarius, planets in Libra, planets in Gemini, Jupiter will be activating those planets beneficially For the next year, depending on their degrees, of course.
I
know, right? It's going to be a little bit of an activation. So
you're
really
thinking of our charts. So I was like, girl, yes. Here we go.
It's good. So it's, you know, for everyone to look at their chart and think about their air placement, think about that grand trine, see where Jupiter is at in Gemini, and then think about the themes associated with that particular house that you can then plug, you know, opportunities into, plug seeds into in order for those seeds to grow. So yes, people can contact me or work with their own astrologer. Maybe they know their own astrology, but I really am encouraging people to set some strong intention with Jupiter in Gemini. And therefore that's going to help guide you into some bigger fruitful opportunities into the future. So Jupiter's coming.
Okay. Well, can you just put on a little note that you and I need to discuss?
We got to activate that.
We need to schedule an appointment so we can discuss our grand air trine and how we are going to blow it up.
And this is really what magic, you know, much of the nature of magic and how it works is about. It's about thinking forward, looking forward, and directing your will in a way that you can then land the arrow in the land and sea of opportunities and watch what grows. And then you receive, and on the back end of that, that's the manifestation of it and the receiving of those opportunities. But you have to, I like people to be clear, because otherwise they're just sort of casting a net and
too vague.
And hoping something lands. And it's like, no, I want you to set very clear intentions with it. And it's funny because through my own work of, you know, practicing the occult arts, the hermetic arts, the mystery traditions, is that sometimes all you have to do is one thing at the right time and then watch it unfold. And it's like little boxes almost that go ding, 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 and they stack up. And before you know it, like this whole thing has now presented itself to you. So sometimes it's just one small action that you can take and then launching it right in that right time or that right window of time, and then just allow it to do its work and allow the magic to do its work. And that thing will just stack right up. And before you know it, you'll look back on the cycle a year later and go, holy cow, all I needed to do was that one thing. And my life has now taken on this trajectory that all stemmed out of that one action. So when people are setting goals for themselves, you don't have to think big. Sometimes you can actually work really small and that small thing turns into something big. So it's important to consider when you are setting these types of intentions for yourself.
Oh yeah. The action is really, really important. I had somebody reach out the other day, curious about a job for a specific company, but didn't apply. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good, but I don't know if I can call in this billion, like multi-billion company to reach out to you. So it's kind of funny, right? We're like, oh, no. We are co-creating here with the universe and with our intentions and with our actions. And it's really important for us to, and that's actually something we were talking about before we hit record, right? Is sometimes the things we think we want, do we really want it? Right? Like, what is the intention behind what we think we want or what we want to manifest? And even getting, like you said, even clearer on that intention, right? And I learned that in 2020, you know, I wanted to see, because I was like, can I make a life of this work? Like, I don't know, you know, that wasn't something I saw as I was moving into, you know, being a spiritual medium or intuitive healer. I didn't know that people could make a career out of this. It wasn't something, I had never known anybody to make a career out of it, you know? And so I set intentions for myself back then I put a numerical goal for myself without not overthinking it. It was just like, I'd like to see if I could hit this goal within this year and see if I could make that happen for myself. Mm-hmm. And it happened very quickly, but at the expense of many things. Yes. And so what I learned was, yes, I can have this very successful career and be very fulfilled financially, but it really took away from my relationships with my kids and with my husband and how busy I was. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really like that. I mean, I do love having a steady flow of income. Don't get me wrong. But then I had to rework my intentions, right? Okay, actually, this is how I want to feel. I took the number off the table. I was like, no more number on the table. And then I got really intentional about how I wanted to feel in the process of being a mother, being able to travel, also having a thriving, successful career. And I was like, ooh, this feels much better. And in the end, I was still met with the same amount of, if I want to say, quote unquote, success, but I just changed my intention. My intentions were much different and my energy expanded in a different way. It was just completely different than how it was the year prior and even now, right? And so I love that, like really, you know, really harnessing in on getting very detailed, I guess, or very like, what is your intention here? Like, what is it that you truly want to create and how do you want to feel? I love that.
Very specific. And it is, you know, it's, you talk about the sacrifice and that is the duality of our nature, or not nature, but the duality of our reality is constructed in the dualistic nature of creation versus destruction. And so everything that's being created, something has to be destroyed. And so that is where the sacrifice comes in and the sacrificial lamb comes in. It's like, in order to pursue this goal over here, something will have to be sacrificed over there for you to have the energy, the focus, and the desire to pursue what it is that you are trying to pursue. So it's always revealing itself, the nature of our reality of duality, the nature of our reality through the duality of construction and destruction, and how, you know, we're always having to compromise and sacrifice for what it is that's the most important to us. And this is where the clarity, becoming very clear with yourself, becoming very clear with your goals is so key and fundamental to this work. And circling it back into magical work, I'm on this kind of magical air, which is very Gemini. I'm sitting with the concept of working with the element of air in magic, which is all about your prayers, your invocations, your stating of your intention. And when I'm working with women, because women have, you know, we're strong in our feminine, most women have that direct connection to the feminine components of themselves. And this is where you get into the more passive nature of the elements, which is the water, which is the earth, you know, that ability to manifest and pull things towards you. But women tend to typically struggle with stating very clear what it is that they want. Whereas you can talk to men, like my male clients are very clear with what it is that they are trying to do in their lives. And you can just see this ability due to our, you know, the body and gender that we, in which we were born, it's like that connectivity that we have to the masculine and feminine parts of the nature, and how a lot of people need to exercise the opposing force. You know, it's like if you have that ability to really connect into the watery parts of yourself, which is the ability to listen, our ability to have empathic relationships with others, to really feel what others are feeling. That's very water. With earth, it's all about, you know, pulling things towards you and kind of building structure and home environments and sanctity and security. It's like, those are very important parts of the work, but also being clear with what it is that you're trying to achieve in this lifetime. And I find that so many people have a hard time just really saying what it is that they want. So when I'm working with people magically, I'm like, what do you want to achieve? And they will give me this very broad blanket net of like, I just want health and happiness. And it's like, oh no.
They're like, Kristen, I want you to tell me what I want.
It's like, oh no.
Kristen.
Health and happiness is the byproduct of the work. You will receive health and happiness. Right? You got to be specific with yeah. what it is that you're trying to do right now. And that is such an exercise of will, and it's very difficult.
It is. I remember when I had my journey of exploration, and it was kind of like, I had to really take a hard look at myself. I'm like, what do I even like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Do I like this, or do I like this because I think I like it because all my friends are doing it? Like, I had to really dissect my life and go, oh, it was a weird time. And I still go through phases of that where I'm like, okay, why am I being pulled to this in this moment? Like, am I matching or mirroring somebody in my field? Is this truly what I desire? You know? And it's interesting. I think, you know, like you said, with women, we often pour from a very empty cup, right? Mm-hmm. And I just had another class that I led for some local moms here for Mother's Day. And what happened in that circle was once they dropped into their meditation and came out, a very common theme was that they feel guilty because they have the ability to be home with their kids, but at the same time, they feel so unfulfilled in their passion, mm-hmm. right? And the desires of that they want to create into the world because they feel like this is their duty to be of service to their kids. They're like, I'm the carpool mom. I'm the Uber driver. I'm the this, I'm the that. And so we think of, like, most women feel that way, right? Most women feel like they have to put everybody else first. I know I did. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I was like, so when I used to ask myself, like, what hobbies am I being pulled towards? Like, what creations am I being pulled toward? I would get frustrated with myself because I was like, I don't even know what I like anymore. Like, I don't even know who I am because I was so disconnected from my body. I was so in a place of, you know, if we want to say the shadow side of Libra, that indecisiveness. And I don't know, what do you guys think? It was like very much of that, you know, giving my power away to something outside of myself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, the more that we develop that practice or that give us, listen to our internal compass and our internal voice and what that is. And like you were saying, like, why not just try something new? Maybe you're going to like it. Maybe you're actually going to see that you actually like doing pottery or that you actually love pickleball. Yeah. Or that you know what I mean? It's like you're not going to know unless you try to do something different, yeah. and to learn what your likes and dislikes are.
Well, and it's like I really also find that conditioning has played such a huge role in people's lives. And it's not until people really start to sit into the middle chapter. So like we go through the midlife transits, the 40s, mm-hmm. and we begin to really get into the nitty gritty of how much conditioning we've had and what that means and how do we separate ourselves from conditioning. And it's like this bridges into themes around larger family dynamics. This bridges into themes of cultural upbringing and cultural traditions and how those things tend to influence us in such ways that we forget that we are actually autonomous, soulful people or spirits that are here to do something that is exclusively ours. It's an experience that is exclusively ours to have. And these obligations, these conditions, these things that are not of our choosing, because we do not technically choose any of that, that it's up to us to create enough distinction and separation from those things in order to really discover who it is that we are. And this isn't to say that you cannot stay closely attached to the family of origin or closely attached to the culture of the family of origin. It's more to do with spending enough time separated from that to have the conversations from within yourself, to have the self-exploration. This is the curiosity. This is the Gemini parts of ourselves. What do we like to do for fun? What did we want to do when we were young children and we didn't have all the preconditioning era? you know, most of us have memories of our childhood preconditioning era. And, you know, it's like, what did we like to do? What were we good at? Were we drawing a lot? Were we playing outside on our bikes? Like, what were we doing? And reconnect to those young parts of ourselves, the youthful, childlike parts of ourselves, in order to surpass the conditioning and land more embodying who we truly are. I mean, so much of this human experience is about discovering who you are as an individual. And regardless of you know, your flesh suit, or regardless of which patch of dirt you were born into, or your family of origin and what they were doing. It's like, it's that autonomous, the individual connectiveness to ourselves that really is where the, I don't know, where this work actually begins. Mm-hmm. The self-exploration of this work is all about the connection that we have to ourselves.
Oh yeah. I had a little bit of a aha moment on Mother's Day. I was sitting and it was nice and quiet, and I was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden I was like, I want to order a stuffed animal for myself. It came out of nowhere. It literally came out of nowhere. It wasn't like I was thinking about something. I was just relaxed. And when it came through my body, I remember being a child and having a very specific stuffed animal, and that love and that bond and that, I'm sure, the wild imaginational stories that I had created with that toy. And it came through my cells in my body. And I was like, oh my gosh, like us as adults, we don't really drop into that. You know, it's like, you know, we do it for our kids, 100%. We do it for gifts for our babies and other people. And so in that moment, I was like, I'm going to order myself a stuffed animal. And I did it very quickly. And it God bless Amazon. It literally arrived by noon. There's like a very specific brand of stuffed animals that my kids love. And so I ordered this, it's like this bunny, and it arrived, and I literally, like, something lit up in my body when it arrived, and I was just like, oh, I was like loving on this little bunny. And then when I got the bunny, I started to remember what I loved to do as a child. I loved drawing, and I loved crayons, and I loved coloring. And so then I was like, oh, now I'm going to go get my coloring books, and not adult coloring books. I'm going to get kid coloring books with like all the, you know, the big box of Crayola where you can sharpen in the back. And even me saying it, I can smell the crayons. I can remember what it felt like to be in that imagination state. And again, that's like, I could have ignored it. I could have pushed it away, or I could have nurtured the child or my soul that was asking me to drop in and connect with that smaller part of myself. Again, I don't know. It makes no sense, but I'm doing it because it's serving myself. It's for me. It's not for anybody else. And I've had this bunny since Sunday, and I've been sleeping with it every night. And I literally feel so like loved. I don't know how to explain it. I'm like, oh, I just love this little bunny. I'm like rubbing my face with its ears, and it doesn't make any sense. Right. But it's making me feel good. It's making me feel playful. It's making me feel like the child again.
Well, and there's something that humans have the power of doing. And this is what I like to refer to as the act of enchantment. So the child in us that attach ourselves to, I have a baby beans. I still have my baby beans I received this baby beans because I almost died when I was, I don't know, right around 1 year old. I was in the hospital with pneumonia. I almost died. So mm-hmm. I received a baby beans during this hospital stay. I still have my baby beans, but we have this power as humans to enchant things. And so we enchant them with spirit. We enchant them with parts of ourselves, technically. And that's where the spirit begins, and how those things become an actual talismanic amulet that then has its own spirit enchanted into it or embodying it. And therefore it becomes this actual animistic living thing. And they really do represent, I don't know quite how to describe it beyond that, but they really do become, you know, the lucky rabbit's foot that people have to carry with them whenever they drive or whenever they go somewhere. It's like these are where superstitions come out of. These are where lore and fairy tales and storybooks, and how when we think about these life forms that begin, it all begins with the human's ability to enchant inanimate or objects. We animate them. We make them come to life. And this is why I love watching, like, not so much like cartoons, but like the child Pixar or I guess Disney movies, where, you know, they are supposed to be catering to young people. But I feel like as an adult, I love watching, you know, Shrek.
I love Shrek.
Right? I love watching those things because I find that it just opens things up in a way that, once again, it connects you to the inner child. Mm-hmm. And this is such a beautiful representation of Gemini energy, because it is the childlike quality inside of our charts, and how, you know, connecting to these parts of ourselves is there's just powerful lessons to learn. But I love you bringing up the stuffed animal because it really does mirror our ability to animate and enchant objects and give them life and turn them into life forms that then we have as tools to support us and guide us through our journey.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oak was really happy because he has three bunnies that he's had since he was a baby. And he was like, we have a baby bunny brother. Like, he's like so excited. He's 10, but you'd think he's like five. And he's every morning, he's like, can I come hug my baby brother? And I've only had it for 4 days, but he's obsessed too. And I'm like, I know, isn't he cute? I named him Moss because he's like a mossy green bunny. But it's like, again, look at me. I'm smiling. It makes me so happy. It's making him happy. Are you kidding me? It's like, yeah.
No,
just like nurturing those parts.
I think it's perfect. I think that everyone should maybe for Gemini season find a stuffed toy or some sort of inanimate object that they can animate through the course of this kind of season of the sun in Gemini, and how that's a really good, that would be a very good exercise of not only working with Gemini magically because you're learning the act of enchantment, but also, you know, working with it energetically to activate the your inner child and the inner curiosity of, which is so perfectly Gemini.
Mm-hmm. I know next week or not next week, excuse me. Next time when we record, you'll probably see the little bunny right here sitting behind me. And it's probably, wouldn't it be funny if it like ran across the room?
Your bunny all of a sudden has its own Instagram.
I am a true believer. When I was a kid, I used to think that when everyone went to sleep, the toys came alive. So when that movie Toys came out, I was like, that's the thing. Like, I really do. I think that they, like, you're right. I think they do carry an essence and a spirit within them. And so wouldn't that be hilarious?
Well, and when we think about the power of various magical abilities, so let's talk about like the ability for visualization, mm-hmm. the ability to focus on certain visualization techniques, even the power of meditation, which is controlling the mind. It's like holding and harnessing these spaces within us that allow us to then receive divine information. This also comes through the act of divination through tarot, where you're using imagery to activate the mind's eye that then opens up to receive information and messages from the divine. It all starts through the imagination. Mm-hmm. It all starts in the possibility that there is something real outside of this reality that you cannot see. So it is that activation of the toy becoming animated and coming to life. Like that is why it's such a beautiful metaphor of it, because it all begins, the ability to activate all of our various sentience, the clairsentient, the clairaudient, the clairs, like people like to talk about. It is through the ability to imagine what you cannot perceive with the physical reality. It is beyond the reality. And that's where it really begins. So it's like just to activate those parts of ourselves, the supernatural parts of ourselves. It's a really good place to begin with that is through the nature and the vein of Gemini and the act of curiosity and childlike curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Moss is going to make an appearance.
Moss is getting his own Instagram.
I gotta Moss get him like a cool hat.
Moss.
No. Okay. That's so funny. I love that you just said that. I literally was like, I'm gonna bring him with me everywhere. Yeah. I literally was like, he's coming with me to Canada. He's gonna like, I just told myself, and I don't know, maybe he told me, I don't know. I was just like, he's gonna come with me. And I am not somebody who's ever been attached to an item that I travel with. You know, it's never been a thing, but I was like, nope, travel bunny coming with me.
Yeah. He's gonna have his own passport.
The only thing that is certain that has traveled with me many miles is my hats. They have collected lots of miles, but other than that, I've never really, you know, had a lovey or something that I, you know, that I had through childhood, you know, like never had something like
I love
that.
It. Yeah. And I love that you bring up hats too, because that also inspires a very mercurial, conversation. It's like thinking about covering the head, you know, and act of covering the head and how it, if you notice in a lot of cultural practices and traditions, a lot of people cover their heads and what that is. What is that? That is guarding your Mercury. And
that's
this,
my intention.
Yeah. And this circles also back to when I had brought up the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot cards. When we think about the Lover's card, which represents Gemini in the tarot deck, it's like, people often associate the Lover's card with the two figures, the Adam and Eve archetypes, but it's not. It's about the angel that is standing before them, and it's about influence. It is the power of influence and how we learn things as children when we're open, when we have young, impressionable minds. We are susceptible to the power of influence, and that is good. But it is also bad. It can work against us. And this is also where conditioning comes in. And this is why our early childhood environment oftentimes lives with people, good, bad, and otherwise, for the rest of their lives, because they were heavily conditioned, also known as heavily influenced by that environment, because their minds were so young and open and vulnerable. So when we think about the power of influence, this is what we are seeing in certain cultures and certain religious practices, where they are covering the head. That is their way of blocking external influences and protecting their Mercury. And you can also channel this through the Lover's card of the Rider-Waite-Smith. It's like being careful about who you allow to influence you, being mindful of the power of suggestion and the power of influence. We see it all the time in advertising. You know, this is, they have paid, you know, the corporations have paid people a lot of money to study human psychology, to know exactly what colors trigger you in certain ways, to know exactly what shapes and logos stimulate you in certain ways, in order to subliminally influence you. And you are no longer sovereign when you are being influenced. You are no longer standing in your own will. So I like to, you know, use this talking about the hat, you know, protecting of the Mercury, covering of the crown, in order to be mindful of influence and be careful of what's, I don't know, not careful per se, because that sounds like we got to go through life being concerned, but just being aware of what you are surrounding yourself with. And if you are raising children, being even more aware of what you are surrounding them with. And because, you know, it's all influence, the power of influence. You can channel it through Gemini, because Gemini is all about that third house of the zodiac. It's when we learn, it's when our minds are open to receiving things, and how it can easily put us into vulnerable spaces if we're not being very, using a lot of discretion and discernment with what we surround ourselves with.
Yeah. When I'm traveling, especially when I'm traveling, I wear my hats with purpose, not because I don't feel safe. It's just my symbol. And, it's a symbol to myself that I'm not absorbing any psychic information from the field, because I, you know, when I'm out and about, especially when I'm going to spiritual places like New Mexico and things like that, it's just like it's a calling card to my higher self, to spirit. No. Nothing is entering into my space. And so a lot of times people are like, oh, you're always wearing hats. I'm like, it's with intention. Trust me. I'm like, yes, you think it's an accessory, but it's really, there's an intention there. There's a reason why I have like certain crystals or feathers. And just, I'm like, nope, this is where I'm at. You know, I'll put certain feathers, bird feathers, like when I'm like protection feathers, and you know, just protecting the crown in this moment, you know?
No, and that's why the feather in the hat is, you know, it is a metaphor for all that we just discussed. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, putting the feather in your hat, it's like that conscious symbol of either protection or maybe movement or maybe seeing something or having foresight into something. Like the feather is a very powerful totem to embody when we are thinking about Mercury. It's a mercurial totem. So that's why the Yankee Doodle, putting the feather in the hat, it's often associated with mercurial things, but on a deeper subconscious level, it is fully associated with the power of influence.
I love that. I love how we just wrap that up in a little bow there.
Well, real quick, let's just talk about it. If people do want to exercise some Mercury on their altar or in their space.
Oh, yeah.
I like to think about, I personally, in my practice, associate the flower of the carnation with Mercury. I know a lot of people have feelings about Mercury or carnations.
They're like,
we gotta let go of our feelings. Okay. I like to work with the red and white carnation for Mercury, and I like to work with them together. So red and white carnations on the altar space. I also like to incorporate bay leaves in. Just because there's a rootedness in, you know, how our Mercuries are seeking things that are working in our best interest. This is the high level of Mercury. It's like pursuing things that are going to work towards our best interest, or pursuing things that are for our highest and greatest good. You know, I love the bay leaf for that. I love the red and white carnation for this. It's like, you know, protecting yourself from external influences. That's a, you know, the exercise of the hat is perfect for that, or covering of the crown, shrouding the head in some way, whether it's a hood or a scarf, and doing that mindfully as you go about in this world. It's a really healthy spiritual hygiene practice.
I love that.
You know, I love that we also talked about the stuffed animal. I'm going to use that because I think it's a perfect way of exercising your Mercury to connect with your inner child, connect with your youth, connect with your, you know, your curiosity, your imagination, and how if you are trying to cultivate extrasensory abilities in your practice, which many people are trying to connect with those clairs, connect with the intuition, it all starts through that act and current of imagination. So, you know, connecting with that stuffed animal or connecting with your stuffy from your childhood is a perfect mercurial practice for Gemini, putting that thing on your altar. I'm going to put my baby beans on my altar.
Baby beans.
baby beans and moss are going to start their own Instagram.
I know.
And anyways, but it's like connecting to the inner child, starting something new, being a beginner at something, and exercising the curiosity of, you know, exploring and channeling something that is, you know, fun and playful and new, and how that's going to open up opportunities well into your adulthood, and watch those little flowers and seeds grow. If you like to work with stones and crystals and minerals, I personally love tiger eye for Mercury, and I also love agates for Mercury. I am loving plume agates right now, in terms of my metalsmith practice with cabochons. The plume agates, they look like these big, beautiful, scenic cloudscapes. And once again, when we kind of circle that back into the active imagination, it's like being a kid and looking up at the sky. There's something about the infinite possibility of the sky and of clouds, and how our mind likes to cultivate shapes and physical representations in things. This is a childlike act, but when you become a divinatory person, if you are actively trying to exercise your divination skills, that's divination, looking at shapes and seeing, you know, what stimulates, what comes into your mind, what thought form enters your headspace because of the shape of that cloud. Like, begin to exercise these parts of yourself, and you will be not only exercising your Gemini, but you will be exercising all of your magical abilities. So tiger's eye, plume agates. Also, I love dendritic agates, banded agates, like things with bands that look like roadways. Because Mercury rules travel. Mercury rules things like, you know, we think about the three-way or the four-way crossroads and magic. That is Mercury. If you are ever meeting Papa Legba at the crossroads, he is, you know, opening up the paths for things. Like, there is this idea of what's called road opening work, where if you feel stuck, you have to head to the crossroads and, you know, basically force yourself to make a choice to choose a path. And this introduces all types of internal dialogue, self-exploration, self-development, because we are forced to commit to a direction. And therefore, it's like forcing yourself to take action on a move. So this is all the themes of Mercury, themes of Gemini. And most importantly, I think just have fun. Like, this is time
be curious, have fun. I was just thinking, I love working with bay leaves. I'm going to put some intentions on my bay leaf and put it in my hat.
Yes, put it in your hat. And if you've ever burnt a bay leaf, you know, that's how you work with bay leaves, is you can work with them, put your intention into them, write on them, and then set them aflame. They burn like, I mean, it's so fast. It's air, Gemini, just like a burst. And so I love working with bay leaves for Gemini and Mercury.
Yeah. Ooh, this is going to be fun. This month is going to be fun. I love the, you know, I love dropping into that imagination and curiosity. Like, this is something that I teach all my ladies, is like really allowing yourself to be led by your imagination. And so this is going to be a very fun
practice. Life is a choose your own adventure book.
Exactly. I love that you just said that. That's what I said to the ladies this last week. I was like, do you get to choose your own adventure? Like, how do you want to feel with Mother Earth in this moment? And we're going down into the earth and
Go to the crossroads, set your intentions at the crossroads, take your bay leaves, burn them at the crossroads, open the paths up for yourself and begin to exercise these magical techniques, and you will be led places. And just like how Jessica and I talked about at the beginning, you know, they will find you. The spirits will find you. Gemini will find you.
Yes, yes, yes. Ah, yay. I'm excited. I'm going to send you a picture of my little moss bunny later. You got to send me a picture of your lovey. Would you remind the listeners on, let me go back. You guys have to go back and listen to some of these episodes. They're so good. They're so good. I know we're like moving through the seasons, but it doesn't matter. They're so, so, so good. I've listened to a couple of them a handful of times, even though we're way past the season. Anyways, moving forward, would you like to remind everyone how to get in touch with you, have a reading with you, you know, just be in your energy?
Yes, you can find me at my website, which is Kristen Urlacher, URLACHER.com. You can also find me on Instagram. Most people type in my name on Instagram and it heads to my creative account where you're going to find my metalsmithing stuff. But usually if you find me there, I will lead you over to my private account, which is exclusively for people who are interested in magic, my clients, colleagues, like-minded individuals over at KU Astro Magic. And that's where you get all the goods.
All the juicy goods, all the juicy goods and updates.
But yes, you can most easily find me at my website and you can look, kind of peruse some of my offerings there. And I'm getting ready to release a few opportunities coming into Jupiter and Gemini season. I plan on launching some stuff through my website to honor that cycle. And yeah, that's how we can keep in touch. And that's how you can find me for readings.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to mention that I, you know, I have this beautiful box that Kristen had sent me with all of her magical makings. I'm in my dragon's blood soap right now. Ah, I love her so much. I love her so much. Ah, because you know, you sent me so many things in that package and I'm just like slowly working my way through them. So thank you. I'm just loving it.
Glad you enjoy it. I energetically charge materia. So I energetically charge oils and tinctures and soaps, and I love to make everything and put magic into it. So I'm glad to hear that you are appreciating it. Maybe I will send you another little box of goodies.
Ooh, I love the box of goodies. My goodness. Yeah, no, I've been eating them up. That's really good stuff. You guys have to check out all of her handmaking stuff. It's incredible. It's really, really beautiful. But okay. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And we look forward to hearing how this month treats you. Don't be afraid to reach out to myself and Kristen. I'm going to link all of her, you know, her website and how to reach her on Instagram in the show notes. And then you could always reach out to us if you have any questions, but until next season.
All right. See everyone later.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to hearing from you. Please share your comments with me on Instagram at @peoplecallmejess. Your continued support means the world to me. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Plus, share this episode with a friend or loved one that you feel would benefit from today's conversation. Thank you for listening.